Our first hearing of 2016. We have four bills on our file today. However, at the author's request, we will be pulling and removing file item 1SB202. And there is one bill proposed for consent today. That's SB 587 by Senator Stone. And before we begin, though, I want to welcome Nicole Billington, our new senior fellow. So welcome to the Senate Committee on Business and Professions. So it'll be a fun year, I'm sure. They all are. So we do have, looks like appears to be a quorum, so will we call the roll, please?
Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Bates?
Here.
Bates here. Berryhill? Block? Galgiani?
Here.
Galgiani here. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez here. Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Mendoza? Wachowski?
Here.
Wachowski here.
Very good. So we do have a quorum. So we do have a consent item, item number 2, SB 587. We have a motion from Senator Bates. Please call the roll.
Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill? Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza? Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye. Seven.
The bill has seven votes. It does have enough, but we will hold the roll open for absent members. We'll move now to item number 4, SB 778. Senator Allen, welcome. Good afternoon. You've had a busy day so far.
Yes. And I'm glad that we made it. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Senate Bill 778 is the result of conversations with stakeholders in the motor oil community, including car makers, consumer groups, environmental advocates, oil companies, and auto shops. Essentially, the bill requires automotive repair dealers to follow the oil drain interval specified in the vehicle owner's manual when recommending the date or mileage for the next oil change on the window sticker, or however they inform customers of when they should come back in. Now, last year, as we looked at ways to reduce the amount of motor oil waste in California, it became clear that there is a 3,000-mile myth, this idea that drivers must change their oil every 3,000 miles to keep their cars in good running order. And that is essentially not true, but it's a key culprit leading to excess oil use and waste. Now, automakers and oil manufacturers have made really significant advancements in the longevity of motor oil. In fact, a majority of vehicles now only need to have their oil drained and replaced every 7,500 miles or even 10,000 miles. And there are actually some high-quality oils out there that last even longer than that. I've got one on my shelf that goes 15,000 miles. However, some auto shops still are recommending to consumers that they come back every 3,000 miles, playing to the outdated standard drilled into our minds by our fathers, mothers, grandfathers, and grandmothers. So while many shops will spend the time necessary to understand the customer's driving habits and even upsell them on the longer-lasting oil sometimes, the convenience sticker that is left on the car's window when they pull away often still says 3,000 miles. Now, many busy drivers rely on these stickers to know when they need to return to the shop. Now, according to one Edmunds article, a customer who follows the 3,000-mile sticker when their recommended interval is 7,500 would actually waste $150 and nearly 10 quarts of oil a year. By requiring repair shops to use accurate information on their window sticker or to set the oil monitor to trigger correctly, SB 778 will save drivers money and reduce unnecessary oil waste. The bill also requires auto repair dealers to inform consumers of what their recommended interval is. This will go a long way toward educating the public and finally putting to rest the 3,000-mile myth. And by the way, all that information is very easily accessible online or in the driver's manuals for any car, telling what the manufacturer's recommendation is. Now, the bill does recognize that some drivers may still want to come in for a change early, or after discussions with the shop specialist, they may agree that because of their driving habits, a shorter interval is warranted. I certainly have some friends who might need that sort of thing. But in these situations, the bill allows for the customer to opt for an interval that is different than what is recommended. The bill ensures that consumers are given the correct information about their change interval and that the reminder the shop offers matches that interval unless the customer chooses otherwise. Now, we got a letter from the new car dealers, and I've just been chatting with them here. I feel good about the state of our conversations. They raised the concern that deviating from the manufacturer's recommendations may be necessary, but they claim that the language requiring approval from the customer is vague, and I've expressed to them that I very much welcome suggestions for how we can clarify the section, work on editing it, work on amending it, since I share the belief that any deviation from the recommendation should be the customer's choice and not the shop's alone. But we do know that it's the practice of some shops to stubbornly rely on the 3,000 miles myth that's at the heart of the problem to begin with. Now, one other thing that's raised in the letter that I know that some of you know about and was raised also in the analysis is that we know that state law currently allows some oil shops to operate without oversight from the Bureau of Automotive Repair, from the BAR. And we understand that the concern by the new car dealers and others that the provisions of 778 should apply to all shops, and I am 100% committed to making sure that that happens as well. We're obviously very closely monitoring Assemblymember Jones's bill, which is AB 873, which is in committee now, and I know we're going to continue to work with this committee to ensure that this issue is addressed should the bill move forward. If Jones's bill is passed in its current form, this wouldn't be an issue. If it's not, then we would make sure that that concern about covering everyone would be addressed in this bill. So I have with me Mark Murray with Californians Against Waste, and also Rosemary Shehan, yeah, that's a good Irish name, I suppose, with Consumers for Auto Reliability and Safety to speak in support of the bill and help to answer questions. I also have Tina Andalina from my staff to help as well.
Thank you, Senator Allen.
Mr. Chair, members, Mark Murray with the environmental group Californians Against Waste, and our objective here is to reduce unnecessary oil generation and waste. A very high percentage of the oil that is generated in California doesn't get recycled still. And so if we can source reduce the amount of oil in the first place, that's a win. To make the justification for this really clear, I just had this experience. I have a brand new Honda Odyssey, two-year-old Honda Odyssey. It's brand new to me. Honda Odyssey, it's got one of these great little things where it tells me what percentage of my oil am I using, and it keeps providing me that information. I go into a local place to get my oil changed, and they would only sell me, because the recommendation is to only get the highest end synthetic oil, which should be good for 10,000. The last time I got the change, I got almost 10,000 miles before I got to 10% of the life is left when I went to change it. Buy the oil, pay the $128 for the really good oil and the change, and they still gave me a sticker saying 3,000 miles, even though I've got a computer in my car that's telling me that the percentage. So this is a change both in the culture of the dealers, it's a change in the culture for consumers, and it's important to have this kind of education, as well as even if we're going to be transitioning to cars, they're going to tell us when they need to have their oil changed. The sticker is an opportunity to help educate consumers and correct folks that are providing misinformation to consumers. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Other witnesses in support?
Mr. Chair and members, Rosemary Shehan, President of Consumers for Auto Reliability and Safety, and we strongly support this measure. Not only is it good for the environment, but it would also benefit consumers. And many times consumers, especially when they buy cars as used cars, they don't even get the owner's manual with the car, so they may not be aware what the manufacturer's recommendations are. And that's where the shops can play a positive role in providing accurate information. And I realize I'm dating myself here, but I grew up in the 50s, and oil changes, it was like a religious rite. You know, you did this every 3,000 miles. So it's very ingrained, and we believe the bill will go a long way toward reducing consumers wasting money and time and possibly being upsold on services that they don't need. And we'd appreciate an aye vote.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support?
Kim Schneider, I have a biosynthetic technologies and strong support.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Jason Schmelzer on behalf of the California Product Stewardship Council in support for the reasons stated.
Thank you. Others in support?
Hi, Diana Vasquez, Sierra Club, California. Definitely supporting the bill and thanking the author for bringing this issue.
Very good. Thank you.
Kelly Dillon on behalf of California League of Conservation Voters in support.
Thank you. Others in support? Seeing no one, those in opposition. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senators Cliff Costa on behalf of the California New Car Dealers Association. California's new car dealers fully believe that providing accurate information regarding oil change intervals is important, not just for the customer, but also for the life of the vehicle. But unfortunately, we must oppose the bill today. Senator Allen's raised a number of our concerns that we also sent in a letter. First and foremost, our concern is the bill is applicable to those automotive repair dealers that are licensed by the BAR, the Bureau of Automotive Repair. And unfortunately, not every oil change facility is actually licensed by BAR. You've heard the senator discuss that. We believe that for this bill to be effective, it must include everyone. He's talked about Assemblymember Jones's bill that we believe should be passed so that we can grab every single oil change facility, put them under BAR's authority. Furthermore, we believe BAR already has the authority to go out and enforce this type of law against their licensees. You've already seen them take enforcement actions against Jiffy Lube and others, not only about upselling services, but also for providing inaccurate information to the customer. And so we think that at least at this point, it would be better to have everyone under BAR's jurisdiction and then have zealous prosecution of the existing enforcement to actually sort of curb this type of behavior. If people are putting 3,000 miles or in 3 months on the window sticker, that practice should stop. Senator Allen also addressed in his opening about concerns we have, particularly to the language of the bill. We think the language of the bill, at least in its current draft, will cause customer confusion when they come to have their oil changed, as well as we're not sure how we're supposed to provide notification. We're not sure how the customer is supposed to choose. That language that is very vague could cost us, in terms of litigation and enforcement sort of compliance, a lot of money, and we're concerned about that. That being said, we have committed to the author and to a staff to continue to work with them in this bill if the bill proceeds forward today. And with that, at least at this point, we have to request a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Costa.
Thank you. Jack Muladonoff on behalf of the Automotive Service Councils of California and the California Auto Body Association. I have not taken a formal position yet because the bill was just amended last week, but we've expressed concerns to the Senator's staff that businesses that sell just oil services are not regulated. It's a huge, huge loophole, glaring loophole in the current law. And just want to make sure we understand. On one hand, you have full-service auto repair shops that are regulated by the Bureau of Automotive Repair. On the other hand, with under current law, if they are found overselling services, oil services, they take action, and the BAR has taken action. It's against the law right now. On the other hand, you have these standalone quick lube facilities, drain and fill, whatever you want to call them, but they just sell oil. That's all they do, and they are currently exempt from the law because changing oil in the state is deemed to be a minor service, so you're exempt. So the bill, the way it is, as it stands, as amended, it doesn't address the unlicensed oil facilities that just change oil. If you're going to go into one of these facilities, you're going to get your oil changed. There's no conversation. That's why you're going there. So if you want to stop, which I believe is the senator's goal here, unnecessary oil changes, you got to have oversight and jurisdiction over these quick lubes and oil shops. Now, you mentioned the bill, the Jones bill, which is pending. That will provide the oversight you're looking for oil change facilities and the ability for the BAR to take action. We believe, at least the Jones bill, will accomplish your goals. It protects consumers, and then it provides a level playing field for all automotive repair shops in the state. So we would like, obviously, to continue, working with you if this bill gets out of committee. But right now, the way it stands, this policy committee, it's just a glaring loophole in the law, and it needs to get addressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Others in opposition? Seeing no one. I have a question. Mr. Costa, could you come up again, please? And I wanted to say that in my conversations with Senator Allen earlier, see the real connection and the importance of the Jones bill moving forward and how that could solve a lot of the problems and the issues we're talking about. And I've committed to getting BAR together with the author and sitting down and trying to work out some of those problems that they've been, the delays or whatever, in keeping the bill from moving forward in front of this committee. The other question, though, is, you know, I thought Mr. Murray's nice, the car that he just purchased in that example. I think we all have to talk about stories and kind of history that we have. My wife, we just purchased a newer car of the Toyota family. And for some reason, that car, every 4,500 miles, that light comes on and says, right, you need maintenance, regardless of how good of a driver, how, you know, you deal with it, or even regardless of the kind of oil inside that car. Right. The light comes on and tells you need maintenance. So I think if we want to solve this, and maybe there's room for a hearing to see where these automobile manufacturers are leading us in that, because this car certainly, I don't believe, needs service and oil change every 4,500 miles.
I agree with you, Senator Hill. What we're seeing is technology moving at a rapid pace in cars. You know, cars are no longer just engines on chassis with wheels, right? They are really more sophisticated now. They're literally computers on wheels. And so where you have some manufacturers like Toyota who is just saying, here is our suggested interval, it's 4,500 miles. Every time you come in for an oil change, the suggestion for the dealer is to actually comply with Mr. Allen's bill and reset the computer process to where it says 4,500 miles, like clockwork, the light will come on. Then you have other manufacturers, General Motors, for example, and I have a General Motors vehicle, so I know this. They are actually looking at how hard you're stopping, how fast you're driving, what type of temperatures you're driving in, how hot the engine is, and that is making a determination and thus a recommendation, as one of the sponsors talked about, where you can see the percentage of oil going down. That's because the computer in the vehicle is reading the sort of conditions on which the vehicle is being driven and giving you a suggestion. That would actually not be consistent with the manufacturer's suggestive oil change interval, and that's part of the reason why I think some of the bill can be confusing to customers. But to answer your question, technology is all over the place. Obviously, the newer the vehicle you have, maybe it's closer to what General Motors is doing. The older vehicle you have may not have this information on it at all, right? And it is, you know, if it's a 65 Camaro, you're not going to probably have any of that information. You're just going to show up every 3,000 miles because that's what, as other people have talked about, been ingrained to do. Right. I hope I answered your question.
You did. That's great. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Costa. I appreciate it. So, are there other questions of Senator Allen? Yes,
Just a couple
Jackson.
Of clarifying ones. So as I understand it, you're not opposed to the concept of being more you. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. My apologies. You're not opposed to the concept of having better, more sort of accurate information about when an oil change needs to take place. Your concern is just that the language needs to be a little clearer, and it shouldn't have these exemptions for the companies that are strictly oil changing type companies. Is that accurate?
I think that's an accurate representation of our position, yes, Senator.
So with that in mind, Senator Allen, could you explain how your bill differs from the Jones bill, which they seem to support, and are you prepared to try to close that loophole?
100%. In fact, if anything, we didn't clarify it in our bill because we were so aware, we were in conversations with the committee staff, they were working on the Jones bill. So the Jones bill is basically increasing the number of shops that get oversight from BAR, so that it'll be more comprehensive along the lines of what you've heard about. What our bill, gives this new oversight responsibility to BAR, it covers those shops that are regulated by BAR. So that's the difference. You know, we would absolutely, if the Jones bill does not move forward, we would absolutely want to make sure that those shops that Jones seeks to cover would be covered under this bill.
So they're complementary.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you.
The Jones bill will include more shops that are not included
today. So the objection here was that there was this big gaping loophole, but the Jones bill addresses that. You address the companies that are already under the BAR.
And I think that's why this gentleman said that he was neutral, because ultimately he understands that we're 100% committed to addressing this loophole and addressing the very same concerns that Jones is trying
Thank
to address.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Senator Berryhill.
Yeah, if the Jones bill passes, is this not needed? Or
so it is, because so the Jones bill is basically looking at the kinds of shops that the BAR covers, and it's going to expand the number of shops that are covered by the BAR. This bill is dealing with a particular issue, which is the question of motor oil changes. And all we're doing is saying that, you know, shops ought to, instead of just putting the 3,000-mile interval up on people's stickers, they ought to just look and see what's the manufacturer's recommendation for intervals and use that instead. So what's going on is that you've got manufacturers who recommend 7,500 miles, 4,500 miles, and the shop should use that as the recommended interval instead of the 3,000 that we've just been using for decades.
Yeah, you know, back in the day when I was farming, you only put about 3,000 miles a year on your truck.
Right.
But you need a couple oil changes because you're out in the dust and all that stuff. So you're not willing to go along with this bill right now, but is there a way to get to yes here?
I have to go back and speak with my members because of how quickly the bill was amended and how quickly the hearing was. I haven't been able to determine exactly what amendments would get us neutral, and the author actually asked me the same question about 10 minutes ago. We're going to be working on trying to get to a place where we can remove our opposition. From my dealer's perspective at this point, they do believe Barr has the authority to already do this. We believe that Mr. Allen's bill would help clarify further what the exact rules are that Barr is supposed to enforce, assuming that the Jones bill passes or some iteration does, where now all oil change facilities are included. We do think unfortunately, the language of the bill needs to be extremely cleaned up, but that's, I think, what you're talking about.
And I'll just say, we understand. I mean, part of the problem is just the timeline of the way these bills are coming up and the fact that it went into print just last week. I've asked Cliff for proposed amendments. They got some internal procedures over there. I've certainly not. We had an extensive conversation this morning. I certainly haven't heard anything from him that suggests to me that we're not going to be able to get to yes, but I understand that he's got to go through his procedures within his own organization.
And I think if the Jones bill does pass, that will make a big difference in the fact that there'd be equity in terms of who is under the regulation.
But what's the timeline? I mean, when's our second bite at this apple then? I mean, are you going to bring it back to this committee, or how are we going to do this?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, ultimately, we can. We can.
And I'm just saying that because I've got a whole bunch of car dealers in my district that I don't want to jump out in front of something that isn't right. You know what I mean? I'd like to have some time to get this thing right.
Yeah.
But I would like a chance to vote on it at some point.
I think what we will do is, with the Jones bill, we'll make them complementary. So that when that does come before us, we'll be able to integrate them in a way that makes them work and be successful in that too. So.
Right. We would certainly have to come back on concurrence, but
you do that.
But if there's some sort of,
and if there's a major problem, then we can deal with it. Then that's true. But I think we'll be able to resolve it in working with the Jones bill.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wachowski, then Senator Mendoza.
Senator, can I draw your attention to page 2 and the legislative findings that we're going to make? Because it seems a bit confusing. It's written as though it's written that only 40% of our oil is recycled, but you start at the front. You include the oil that's burned off and the oil that's leaked, and then you say of that 40%, only a small portion of it actually gets through to recycling. And the staff report points out in 2005, which was 11 years ago, we were recycling at a 59% rate, and the folks in the used oil business that actually pick up this stuff tell me that the numbers are greater than a small percentage. So I would ask, I'm willing to move the legislation, but I would ask as you go forward that we get some 2016 data in here, because the suggestion that the even the Jiffy Lubes and these people that pick up the oil, that's there's a robust recycling industry here in California. And, you know, the big secret is that used oil is actually better than virgin oil for our car because you're putting in detergent and additives. So that little secret should get out for the public if we're going to do a campaign here to educate people about when they should be recycling, changing their oil. So I just draw your attention to my concern with that paragraph.
Do you want to
Mr. Chair, yes. Members, right. So we get this data from CalRecycle, which is regulates the used motor oil recycling program. Not all, we're actually doing a fabulous job. This sector is doing a fabulous job of collecting the motor oil for recycling. Not all of that is collected for recycling goes to what we define as a recycling use in California. Some of it is actually shipped out of state and used as a fuel, burned as a fuel, which we don't count as recycling here in the state of California. So I will get you, at minimum, here's the story of what's happening to motor oil that gets recycled in California, and then we'll revisit the findings to make sure that we're using the most updated information.
I'm absolutely happy to work with your staff and the committee staff to get that clarified or changed or corrected if
okay, good.
Know, along the lines of what you
I moved the bill.
Thank you. Senator Mendoza.
Thank you. I appreciate the bill. I think it's a good direction that we need to go into. I am concerned with a lot of the concerns that were brought up today. I'm hoping that maybe you could maybe double join the bills, the Jones bill and this bill, kind of they both pass, so that way they're both in action instead of one or the other. You know what I mean? The possibility of trying to put them together and that way the expansion of the bar oversight, I think, is necessary. Right. And I think this is also another necessary bill. So I think if we join them, that way we know that they're both progressing and they will both be dependent on each other. That would be an idea that I think we should look into. One quick question to Mr. Costa. The manufacturer recommended oil change. I mean, if say they do go to a place that does offer, you know, 15,000-mile oil, do you think the service warranty is still valid if you don't go at 7,500 miles and you go to, say, 10,000 or 15,000? Are you in jeopardy as a car owner that you didn't follow the instructions?
I'm not actually familiar with that answer, so I can get back to you.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I mean, because I know it's like he was mentioning earlier, that the senator was that some of these oils are actually have longer lives. And if I'm a new car, if I have a car, I don't want to jeopardize my warranty because I went somewhere and they promised me 15,000 miles and I'm thinking I'm good.
Right.
But in reality, I'm jeopardizing my warranty that I don't want to, as a car owner, do. So
the warranties are provided by the manufacturers. And when you buy a car, mm-hmm. the dealer, obviously, who is the retailer who sells you the vehicle, will honor the warranty when you come to our service departments and fix your car. But the details of each individual manufacturer's warranty, I'd have to dive into that to get you an answer.
We looked into this a little bit last year in relation to a similar bill. And my understanding is for most of the warranties, it depends upon a compliance with their recommendations.
As a owner, I think that's an important question, but if you get a chance, that'd be great to sure. know more about that. Yeah. That's
it. Thank you, Senator Mendoza. Senator Block.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seemed the new car dealers had at least a couple of concerns, one being that the bill is under-inclusive because a lot of repair shops or a lot of shops that do just oil change wouldn't be included. And we've addressed that, and we've talked about the Jones legislation. But the other concern, which was more compelling to me, seemed to be about the law being too vague and that it would result in a needless litigation. Would you explain that in some detail, and would you, Senator Allen, respond to that?
Sure. We've got concerns in both paragraph, if you look at page 4, paragraphs A and C. A is discussing where prior to performing the work, the dealer shall notify the customer about the recommended oil change interval, as well as the viscosity, as well as, and I'm missing something, the oil grade. We asked, well, what does that notification look like? Is that notification done in the, you know, repair estimate that we must provide to you? Is that done verbally? How do I show that I actually
complied with that if I have done it verbally. Additionally, if you look down in subdivision C, there it says that if the customer chooses, well, what does chooses look like? What's that choice look like? You come in, I tell you, hey, look, because we live in the high desert and because you drive, you know, 50 miles to work every day in extreme heat during the summer, I'm going to recommend that you come in at 6,000 miles, even though the recommendation from the manufacturer is 10,000 miles. Did the customer, and the customer goes, yeah, that sounds good. How do I make sure that the customer chose that? Do I have them sign some sort of document? How do we comply with that? And so those are the sort of questions that leads us to when the language is not clear and it is under-inclusive, our concern is if BAR doesn't set up regulations to clarify that, then we open and expose ourselves to what we think is unnecessary litigation.
I mean, it sounds like those are legitimate concerns, but fairly easily addressed.
Absolutely, and much of our conversation 10 minutes ago was just about this very thing. I asked Mr. Costa, when will you be able to provide us with some amendments, some proposed amendments that we can look at? So we're active. We're anxious to see what he is able to come up with, and we'll wordsmith it together. I haven't heard a single thing that he said that I don't agree with I don't think anything that he said would ruin the spirit of what I'm trying to do here with this bill. So I from everything I've heard, both in our previous meeting and just now, I feel confident. But I understand that Cliff's got an internal process in his organization.
Well, thank you both. I will be supporting the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator Block. Other questions or comments? Yes, Senator Bates.
I won't be supporting the bill, and I just wanted you to know, Senator Allen, I like the direction you're going in, but I do think that there's still a concern that if the Jones bill doesn't make it and your bill lives, this issue with potential litigation over how one, the contract between the customer and the service center gets into something very specific to avoid litigation, that who told me and who knew and did I save my speed and they really didn't do it right. I mean, it opens up a Pandora's box, and we've seen that in this legislature years where even the size of the print on something somebody signed got into, some sort of discussion. So I think it needs more work, so I'm going to oppose it today, but I'm not opposed to the direction you're trying to, the problem you're trying to correct, but I think it needs more work.
Thank you, Senator, and I will say, if the Jones bill does not proceed, I am absolutely committed to working with both of the folks who raised concerns at this hearing to make sure that it is truly comprehensive, because ultimately that's my very goal here.
And that too,
absolutely.
Very good, thank you. Would you like to close, Senator Allen, or was that your close?
I respectfully ask for my vote.
Very good, thank you very much. We have a motion from Senator Wieckowski. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Appropriations Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates?
No.
Bates, no. Berryhill? Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani? Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza? Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
5-1.
5-1. We'll keep the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much. We'll now move to item number 3, SB 661, Hill. I'll turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Senator Bates.
Yes, Senator Hill.
Thank you.
Are you ready to open? Are your witnesses coming forward? There they are.
We have one
ready
or two.
Very good. Yeah. Go ahead.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Bates. Madam Chair, members, SB 661 is a reintroduction of last year's SB 119, which was vetoed by the governor in October. The only difference between this bill and that one is that we've pushed back a few deadlines to conform with the later operative date. The purpose of these bills has been to prevent dangerous excavation activities by clarifying the call before you dig law, improving enforcement of that law, and developing a venue for continued discussion of safety improvement. Today, the need is even more glaring than it was a year ago. California now has the distinction of having the two most recent excavation-related death, gas-related pipeline fatalities. In April last year, the operator of a front loader hit a buried high-pressure gas line in Fresno, causing an explosion that killed one and injured another 12. No call to 811 had been made. In November, an agricultural contractor struck a gas transmission line outside of Bakersfield, killing himself and severely burning two people nearby. And as of January of this year, the Federal Pipeline Safety Regulator now has the authority to take jurisdiction of excavation safety away from California if it finds our program insufficient to protect the public. Last year's SB 119 was a result of extensive meetings with dozens of excavators, utility operators, agencies, and associations who were able to come together for the common purpose of making sure everyone who went to work could go home safe. The governor's veto of the bill had less to do with the policy and more about the way in which the policy should be administered by the various state agencies who have excavation safety responsibility. The governor's office is in discussion with these agencies, and I am in conversation with the governor's office. I'm confident that we will be able to come to a workable solution. The Senate overwhelmingly passed SB 119 in September, and I ask that this committee move SB 661 so that the contractors, laborers, locators, operating engineers, one-call centers, counties, state agencies, farmers, landscapers, property owners, realtors, firefighters, gas, petroleum, electric, communications, water, and sewer utilities, whether municipal, JPA, or privately owned, can finish what we started over a year ago. I respectfully ask for an aye vote, member.
You have witnesses in support.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Brett Barrow with the National Electrical Contractors Association, United Contractors, the California Legislative Conference of the Plumbing, Heating, Piping Industry, and the Western Line Constructors. And we are here again in support of this bill, a bill that has been endured a long stakeholder process and one we want to keep moving. Our contractor's principal objective on the job site is to keep its workers safe. And this bill would ensure that contractors call when necessary before excavating and the utilities come out and mark properly when excavating. So for those reasons, we support this bill.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Jeremy Smith here on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council. We represent many of the actual men or the men and women who actually drive the excavation equipment. And this, at essence, this bill is about health and safety and their livelihood. So we are strong support of the bill. Thank you.
Maria Garcia with Greenberg Traurig on behalf of the California Landscape Contractors Association in support.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Mitch Seaman with the California Labor Federation, also in strong support.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Doug Subers on behalf of the Western States Petroleum Association. We don't have a formal position on the bill. We'd like to say thank Senator Hill for continuing to work on this important issue and look forward to working with him throughout the year. Thank you.
Witnesses in opposition? I see none. Any questions from committee? Yes, Senator Berryhill.
Yeah, this bill looks a little bit like Groundhog Day, right, Senator?
It feels like it too, Senator.
I remember this was a long, hard fight. You did a great job in getting this bill to the governor's desk last year. You don't have any opposition received at this point in time. Was everybody notified of this? Do you expect to have opposition against this bill, or where are we at with it?
Well, it depends. We don't expect to have any opposition legislatively against the bill. And we don't think that the governor, at the end of the day, when we work with his office now from this point, which is the good part about having this bill and having the time to do that, is to make sure that whether this bill has as a location for the advisory body and the regulatory body to be within the Department of Consumer Affairs. And working with the DCA as well as the PUC, the governor thought it should be with the PUC. We felt, and everyone else involved felt, that it should be within DCA. So what we're going to be doing is working with the PUC to see if they, in fact, are interested in taking this responsibility and working with the DCA to find a place for it. There may be a hybrid or something, but it's this in the sense the policy is not a problem. It's the location of the body that will be doing the oversight, doing the enforcement and managing this system so that we can prevent loss of life that we've seen over the last 2 years.
Yeah, now, refresh my memory. last year, in the beginning of this bill, it was very controversial. You worked with a lot of different groups. The Farm Bureau was opposed to this originally last year.
Yes.
Now, are they in support of this now, or are they just they're not opposed?
I don't recall if they're not opposed to it. That I know. We worked with the landscapers, everyone, and with the city of Los Angeles had challenges and problems because of the culverts and the issues that they have when they clean and do some of the work there. So we've been able to work with each stakeholder to define what the issues that they had and the problems that were presented by their particular industry and deal with those within the legislation. So everyone at this point, there's no opposition and none was presented to the governor. His question is just over who's going to manage it, who's going to be operating the oversight, and in what agency will be dealing with that or department.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Senator Block? No?
I'll just move the bill.
And the motion. Any other comments? Then, Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Judiciary Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani? Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza? Bukowski? Six.
Aye.
So do we?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye.
Do you have to hold the roll open?
No.
We'll leave the roll open and then it will be due
pass. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Senator Bates.
Yeah.
Very good. We will call the absent members.
Call the absent members.
On consent, we'll move on the consent calendar. Item number two, SB 587. Please call the absent members.
Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
8-0.
We'll hold the roll open for a little bit longer just to make sure it has that. Hill, item number 3, SB 661. Please call the absent member.
Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Mendoza?
Okay.
8-0. We'll hold the roll open. And item number 4, SB 778, Senator Allen. Please call the absent member.
Berryhill, Galgiani, Mendoza. 5-1.
Five, what is 5-0?
5-1.
5-1. That bill is out. So we'll wait another second. I think we've got everyone on, right. So we, you're good.
I think that's all.
I don't think he's coming back. Mr. Mendoza? Yeah, I don't think so either.
Do you want to close out?
We will close out the roll for item number 2. The vote is
8-0.
That measure passes. Item number 3, SB 661. 8-0. That measure passes. And we've already closed the roll on SB 778, Allen. 5-1. That measure passes.
Okay.
That concludes the business of the Business, Professions, and Economic Development Committee for today. The committee is adjourned. Okay.